This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and my name is Jeffrey Davis. We're always talking about the stories of entrepreneurship. This whole segment, all these segments are great. They're being featured by the law firm of Davis, Maugham, and D'Augustine, where we're physically located. That means my guest host is Pat Clendenin, the infamous lawyer and attorney.
Thank you so much for being here again, Jeffrey. It's always a pleasure to have Radio Entrepreneurs in the house.
That's great. Say. Well, you definitely know you're in a law firm when you walk in the doors of Davis Maugham. It's got that feel from top to bottom.
If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, it's a duck.
I used that phrase in another context last week, which I won't repeat. And our next guest, someone I know you have a lot of respect for, is David Rogers of Davis Maugham. And we're going to talk about cannabis and pregnant women today, correct?
Yes, that appears to be the case.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you sort of get into the topic first. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your practice?
Sure. So I'm a lawyer here. I mostly do business law, mergers and acquisitions, financings, contract review, advising companies on the full range of business issues, a little bit of employment stuff. And then I'm of counsel here, and I'm also I serve in the Massachusetts House of Representatives. Representing the people of Arlington, Belmont, and Cambridge. So in that capacity, I helped pass, was involved in both of the pieces of legislation that I think we're going to discuss today.
Great. Is there a specific area in the legislation you'd like to talk to our listeners about? Make them maybe areas where there may not be informed?
Well, let's talk about cannabis. I mean, I think that's what I meant, because it's affecting our industry. I mean, we have lawyers here that will help legitimate businesses obey the law.
Well, cannabis.
So tell us what this new law is. What the Commonwealth is trying to do.
Sure.
With regards to the reality of cannabis in Massachusetts.
And now that it's illegal business, because it's always been a business.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Prohibition is over.
Yeah. So in November of last year, the voters passed. On a ballot initiative by about 54 to 46, what was called Question 4, and it legalized adult use cannabis. For both the use, possession, and growing at home. And the legislature where I serve, while respecting the will of the voters, decided to take a look at the law to see if it was well written, see if it made sense, because a lot of times ballot initiatives, they're written by just one side of the question, and they don't go through the puts and takes and the back and forth of the legislative process. So we reviewed it and made some changes, and it was signed by the governor just about a week ago. And it preserved, actually, a lot of what's in the ballot question. So use, possession, growing at home, a lot of those limits and guidelines in the law were preserved. Really, what we were debating in the legislature, for the most part, is the retail, the retail sale. What would be the rules governing retail sale? And so the tax rate and just on and on. There's so many issues. And I think we landed in a good place. And so retail sales are scheduled to begin in July 1st of next year. There's a CCC, the Cannabis Control Commission, that is housed within the treasurer's office and has five commissioners, some appointed by the treasurer, others by the attorney general and governor. And they will promulgate regulations and guidelines. And there's a lot of guidelines in the law itself. So and now there's just a lot of entrepreneurial activity. There's so many businesses taking a look at this to see if they can get involved.
And Dave, I'm really curious, just as a citizen interested in this topic, what's the good news for taxpayers in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts potentially? And what are some of the risks and concerns for parents and other people who are around young adults dealing with cannabis?
Sure, great question. So I think on tax revenue, we had the commissioner of the Department of Revenue come in and testify. In front of I was on the committee that helped write the law. And he said it's very difficult to predict when you're going from a completely illegal market to a legal market how much revenue you're going to generate. So he said, if we take something that's legal and you say you're going to change the tax rate, I can predict with a fair degree of certainty how much revenue it's going to generate because there's a pattern. But with an illegal market, how do you know? And the best estimates are that this could eventually rise to be about a $1 billion market in Massachusetts. So, you know, the estimates are kind of difficult to pin down, but it will generate significant tax revenue over time. There's no doubt about it, as the market grows. To the second part of your question, for children and young adults, I should say, I happen to be an advocate for legalization, and I'm not proselytizing for the use of marijuana. I'm just saying it's been ill effects of the illegal market, kind of like prohibition back in the time when alcohol was illegal. It drove it into the hands of criminal syndicates, and there's a lot of violence. That's also been true of marijuana. There's a high profit margin, it turns out, higher than even the harder drugs, methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin. You would think the harder drugs would have higher profit margins. Actually, marijuana has a hugely high profit margin. So what I always say is what happens when something is illegal and very lucrative? It's also very violent. And there's been a lot of killings here in our state related to the marijuana trade. And so young adults, though, it's funny, the statistics have stayed pretty much the same. Like, it's widely available to young people. I ask young people, what's harder to get? Say your parents are going away for the weekend and somebody's throwing a party. What's harder to get, you know, alcohol or marijuana? And they said, oh, alcohol's way more difficult. Way more difficult. I can get pot in high school just like that. It's so wide. So the debate really to me wasn't about is marijuana good or bad or public health or public safety. Because whatever ill effects we're feeling from marijuana, we've been feeling them for decades. And it's more about should it be legal or not? And that's a different question. And to me, if you can, what we've done to make it legal, tax it and regulate it, it's only for those 21 and over. You have to show identification. It's widely available now. Some argue that it might make it even safer, because now it's testing. They're independent testing laboratories. You know what's in the product. Your child is not going to be going, if you have a teenager, that child's not going to be going to a drug dealer who also has other drugs. They're going to, so those are some of the
couple of questions.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll get them all out. Well, you know, in Colorado, there's still illegal drugs being sold because they are they're at a lower price than the
sure.
than the legal drugs. And
sure.
I know, like, if you go to Holland, if you go to Amsterdam, you don't see as many legal drugs because the illegal drugs because the legal drugs are so accessible
yeah.
in the smokehouses. How are you going to deal with the sort of undercurrent of people who are still going to be selling it illegally but are selling it cheaper?
Yeah, I think that's going to go on. There's always going to be an underground market. There's
right.
no way, I don't think, to completely tamp it out. And that was the debate about the tax rate. People said, well, keep the tax rate relatively low, so the price consequentially is low.
Right.
And but no matter how low the price is, you know, there probably will always be people selling it illegally. Same with tobacco. We have a huge trade in our state and many states around the country right now in tobacco. There was testimony on that in front of our committee as well. It's just a huge amount of tobacco coming into Massachusetts illegally. So, okay. you know, there's always going to be
you answered that question.
Illegal use.
Second one, I just happened to be with a doctor who was in Colorado, who used to be in Massachusetts, talking to me last week about this. And, you know, he said that there's a big difference between control, you know, the regular marijuana and the consumables. Have they differentiated at all between the two products? You know, like candies.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, and there's a lot of in the law that we just passed. There's a lot of guidelines on what is permissible, the serving size, the milligrams of the active ingredient, which is THC. That's regulated. Packaging and labeling is regulated. You can't have any packaging that would appeal to young people, you know, with animated cartoon characters, anything like that. So between the independent testing to guarantee there's no mold, there's been issues with mold on marijuana causing illness.
Ooh.
So between the testing to make sure that the product is pure, and then the packaging and labeling to make sure that the way it's marketed is to the adult market. Matter of fact, we even put something in the law that says you can only advertise on radio, print, billboard, whatever, to an audience that market research shows will be 85% of the people who see the ad will be 21 and up. So it's going to be a very limited amount of venues or avenues and media that people can advertise in, because you have to demonstrate through market research that only a very small percentage of the people who view the ad will be under the age of 21.
And so, Dave, about, again, as a citizen, what is the Commonwealth doing with regard to public education? Because, you know, you may have adults who just don't know enough about the science of THC to understand what's an appropriate amount for them to use safely, and, you know, guidelines about not smoking it around younger people because it may do damage to younger people's health. What are we doing about that?
That's a good question, especially the consumables, because I've heard stories about people who, because it takes longer to get into the system, who have consumed way too much consumables.
Yeah, we call them edibles.
Edibles, right. Yeah, edibles that they've, you know, where you're supposed to take one.
Well, there's
they
a
take
delayed
four.
Impact. Right. And that's the one cautionary tale out of, say, Colorado, that was the first state or one of the first states, is people would take it and the effects did not kick in. Then they say, oh, I guess I didn't take enough. They take some more and then end up far too intoxicated.
Kids and pets getting into those candies.
Yeah, there's been some stories of that. And that's why the labeling and the packaging will be childproof. But
that's good.
You know, but to your question, Pat, there is a provision in the law that there'll be a kind of a public awareness campaign, and some of the money, the tax revenue that's generated, will be used for making the public aware of the necessary facts related to the use and warn the public. So I think there'll be a public education campaign. And I think one of the commissioners, the law sets up so that at least one of the commissioners of the five on this Cannabis Control Commission has to have expertise in public health. So I think that this is going to be rolled out in a way that's, I think, very cautious and careful. But it's a great question.
David, I'd love to talk to you a lot more about this. Maybe you'll come back again. We wish
sure.
you would. If somebody wants to find you at Davis Mom, how would they do that?
Well, D. Rogers, D-R-O-G-E-R-S, at davismom.com. And as Pat might have mentioned, we at the firm are developing a cannabis practice. We're actually have lawyers with expertise in all the various areas that an entrepreneur would need to know. You know, you can call, look me up on the internet. I mean, these days you can find anybody, right?
Right. So interesting. Just the whole term, just changing my whole mindset of life, the cannabis practice in a law firm. It's going to take a while to settle in there.
I know.
It really does have a whole different feel to it.
But it's funny, you know, I've met a lot of these entrepreneurs, and I think I've been to some of the dispensaries, the medical dispensaries. You walk in, and I think that would allay and alleviate so many concerns of so many people if they saw. I went into the one in Brookline, and it's in a beautiful, it's a former Beaux-Arts architecture, a beautiful old bank, the Brookline Savings Bank. So you go into this beautiful building. It's clean. It's well-lit. You can tell from the clientele, many are very well-dressed. They look affluent. They're, I mean, all types of people, black, white, men, women, young, old. And, you know, very orderly, this whatever the reefer madness or the fears of people you see, these are just your friends and neighbors. It's very well run. It's very legal. You know, they're very strict about identification and
prescriptions
for medical. I mean, it's a lot of the hysteria that used to surround this issue, I think, is going to slowly go away as people realize.
But you know, Hollywood, too, is going to make some movie that's going to have, at some point in time, some cannabis law firm and just in a humorous situation. And that's just what they do. You know, it's going to be part of our mainstream, you know, culture now.
Sure.
That's very interesting.
Well, I hope I'm in the movie.
Yeah. better chance that you get cast for the movie if you don't bring Pat with you.
Okay.
And I want to tell you, I really appreciate your being on the show today.
Yeah.
And we're going to obviously have you back again. This is Radio Entrepreneurs from Davis Mom Augustine, and Pat Clendenin is my co-host. Thanks again, Pat.
Thank you, Jeffrey, and thank you, David.
And we're definitely going to save this story and air it many times. We know there's going to be a lot of interest in it.
Great. Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.